Ahab. I'm going to talk a little bit about Ahab and Jezebel as well. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." Dear friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. He's one of the big three, you know. You might call him the big E. Elijah the prophet. He was one of the big three on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. So Elijah's a pretty big deal. We would do well to spend more time with Elijah, and all the prophets for that matter. Elijah spoke truth to power. That got him into a lot of trouble. And that could be dangerous. Back to that in a minute. Elijah was a miracle worker. Elijah could make it rain. Elijah could call down fire from heaven. Elijah raised from the dead the son of the widow from Zarephath. Elijah could be fearless. Elijah could be as fearless and as strong as they come. He single-handedly killed the 450 prophets of Baal with his own sword. Well, Ahab and his wife Jezebel, the king and queen of Israel, worshipped Baal. It says in the previous chapter, in the 38th year of King Asa of Judah, Ahab son of Omri began to reign over Israel. Ahab son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Ahab son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. He took as his wife Jezebel, daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Ahab did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than had all the kings of Israel who were before him. So, they were not very happy about this mass murder of the prophets of Baal. Jezebel had already had all the prophets of Yahweh killed, except for Elijah. Can I just pause here and say that things could get pretty rough during this time in biblical history? In case you haven't noticed. But Elijah stood strongly and fearlessly before those 450 prophets and prevailed. Elijah stood strongly and fearlessly before Ahab and Jezebel and spoke truth to power, especially with regard to forsaking Yahweh, the God of Israel, and turning toward Baal. Elijah, the embodiment of strength and fearlessness. Well, something changed in Elijah. Jezebel informed Elijah through a messenger that the same fate awaited him as the fate of those 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah freaks out. All of a sudden, Elijah is terrified. So much so that he flees to Beersheba. He flees another day's journey into the wilderness. Elijah came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. I don't know what a broom tree is. Maybe they grow brooms? I don't know. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." What's going on here? The mighty prophet who slew 450 prophets of Baal, the mighty prophet who spoke truth to power. Elijah was tired. "It is enough," Elijah prays. "I've had enough." Even though Elijah was running in fear, he had hit the wall. Elijah was tired of fighting. Elijah was tired of being the solitary voice speaking truth to power. He was tired of the loneliness, the isolation, the running. Elijah was tired of being strong. He was tired of being fearless in the face of everything. Superman ran out of kryptonite. Maybe, just maybe, you can relate. We just don't have the strength to carry on. We don't feel like we can do it anymore. And that it is probably different for all of us. Everything just caught up with Elijah. And he hit bottom. He didn't have anything left. So much so that he prayed that he might die. Then he fell asleep under a broom tree. And suddenly, an angel touched him. "Get up and eat," the angel said. What this passage leaves out is that the angel drove there in a food truck. Oh, yes. He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. Not even the touch of an angel kept him from retreating again underneath that broom tree. Not even a warm meal could keep him from laying down again. He'd had enough. Then the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." The angel would not give up on Elijah. He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Who are your angels? Who are your angels? Mine have skin on. They have touched me. They have fed me in so many different and renewing and transforming ways. They have healed me, and I hope I've told them so. I hope I've thanked them. You have them, you know. Who are your angels? This past Friday, we celebrated the life of Jerry DeVoe. Jerry's an angel. Always has been. Oh, and the lives he touched. His beloved bride, Sally, his biological children, his adopted children, his foster children, the other children in this community that he just loved like they were his own. And he fed them. Cake baked on the hot stone of his huge heart. And a jar of water. Well, maybe not just water. Oh, and walleye. There was walleye. There was lots of walleye as well. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing here? I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Elijah is still feeling defeated. "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And here we go. "Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." Elijah had every right to look for God in the mighty wind and in the earthquake and in the fire. Elijah himself had put them to good use in the name of Yahweh. But God was not present in all these terrifying acts of nature. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. God was in the sheer silence. Sheer silence. The sound of silence. We seem to need so much stimulation. And God is present in the silence, dear friends. It may be time for some inventory work. How much of our daily inventory of time includes silence? I'm not trying to throw a guilt trip at you. As much as I love the story, I believe God is everywhere, not just in the silence. Jikalele. Still, we need the silence. I would even submit that God speaks to us through nature, especially in the silence of nature. So how does silence compare with the rest of your daily inventory of time? Like screen time. I even saw three young skateboarders downtown the other day. They were moving right along and looking at their iPhones at the same time. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So in the name of the God of Elijah, let me gently persuade you in the direction of silence. The voice of God is there. The voice of God is uniquely there. The voice asked again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah repeats his answer. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." Angel did not give up on Elijah, and Yahweh wasn't done with Elijah either. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. I had to practice that a few times out loud when Miriam wasn't around. Elijah, who, along with Moses, is the greatest prophet of all the prophets. He stood with Moses and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was commissioned to anoint some new kings, including Jehu at the expense of Ahab. And he was called to replace himself. The greatest of all prophets was called to replace himself with Elisha. Dear friends, when we've hit bottom, when we can't go on, ask yourself, who are my angels? And remember, how have they touched me? And remember, how has God sustained me over and over and over again? We're not expected to make it through our despair alone. Angels are here. And God is here. And God is not finished with us. And let all God's children say.